Well, we're continuing our study that I've called The Crowning Wife versus the Contending Wife. And we've been last week and this week, and I believe next week we'll conclude, or the next time, on The Crowning Wife from Proverbs 31. If you want to open there, Proverbs 31, we'll read verse 10 through 31. Remember that this is an alphabetic acrostic. Verse 10 begins with Aleph, and verse 31 with the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet that I don't know what it is. But I know the first one. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Well, just a review of what we looked at last week, and we began earlier in verse 1 as King Lemuel's mother spoke to him these words, and it would appear that the rest, 10 through 31, are her words, the wisdom that she gave to him as a godly mother. We called this the ABCs of an excellent wife, and we outlined the section. Verse 10 through 12, she is precious. 13 through 27, she is practical. And 28 through 31, she is praiseworthy. Thus the godly woman. We looked at this point that she is precious. Her worth is far above jewels. I wonder if anyone went home and looked up the Koh i Noor diamond, the most valuable diamond in the world, 106 carats. Her worth is far above that. The heart of her husband trusts in her. She's of proven worth. She does good continually. She's consistent. And then we began this section that she is practical. She's willingly caring for her household. She has the right focus upon them. Well, then we'll continue at verse 17 here. Verse 17. I call this womanly strength. Often we think of strength as a manly virtue, but I think Proverbs 31 and many other verses would show us that there are women of strength, godly women. She's not a lazy bones that sits around watching soap operas all day, and I don't know if they even have those anymore. I'm glad I don't know, but when I was a kid, I knew about soap operas. She doesn't sit around watching soaps all day. She's working. She labors. She gets down to business, even to the point of exhaustion. I'm sure, ladies, you could say amen to that point. Working yourselves to exhaustion. You're not lazy bones. Remember, part of the curse was by the sweat of your brow. And I think we often think of just men when we think of this, but that's very foolish, because women, as well as men, receive part of the curse by the sweat of your brow. And sometimes I would feel that my wife sweats more than I do. She's laboring intensely. I'm sitting in the cubicle, laboring in another way. But wives, of course, labor extensively. Well, then, what may flow from this, verse 18, is a godly confidence. A godly confidence. There's a sinful confidence of people who trust in the flesh, but this woman has a godly conscience. She has a good conscience. She has confidence because her conscience is clean, for she has honored God in her work. And this motivates her. When you have a good conscience, you're enabled to press on because you are not feeling guilty. Sometimes guilt because of laziness will keep us more lazy. But when you've done the right thing and you work, you have a good conscience to keep on working and laboring. Tireless efforts. That's what she's made of. She works into the night from one project to another. Morning to night. She begins her day maybe in prayer and Bible reading. She prepares breakfast. Many of our wives school the children. Then they call someone who's in need. Then they fold the laundry. And they fold the laundry. And they fold the laundry. Some more than others. Then they prepare lunch. Maybe they pay the bills. Maybe they ship out some used books that they're selling or jewelry they made. Or they call to make an appointment for something. They prepare dinner. And they do fold more laundry. And then they reach out to someone on Facebook who's suffering. And then, when their husband comes home, they listen to the burdens of his day and encourage him. And then she hems the pants. And she keeps working until she's so tired she crawls into bed. And of course I'm describing you ladies here, because God has given us gems. He's given us wives whose worth is far above jewels, who labor. You don't sit around, obviously. We state the obvious. You're not lazy women. You're diligent. You do more than the vast majority in this world because you're rare by the grace of God. And we ought to thank God for you ladies more often and express it, men. And I speak to myself as well. So she's doing all these things. She has a godly confidence, a good conscience. Verse 19, it gives some specifics, more specifics. One of her skills is using the distaff, which holds unspun fiber of wool or flax, and yarn is produced on the spindle. And if you haven't seen this before, go visit Fort Nisqually. I've seen it. I wasn't really sure what the words meant, but you can look it up, Google it, look it up, and see a picture of the distaff is this long pole, and the spindle is small, and they're bringing these unspun fibers down to a yarn-like state so they can make things with it. And if I blundered that, you can correct me. But that's the distaff. She has a skill. She's done something specifically. Remember, she's not just a dreamer. Oh, I'd like to use the distaff and spindle. That's so beautiful, the yarn that comes off. No, she actually does and has a skill. She does something. Verse 20. She is graciously generous. She extends her hand to the poor. She's gracious. She is compassionate to the needy. She's not blind to their needs. She's not so focused on her own household that she's oblivious to the poor. She sees their needs and she responds graciously. She does something. She extends and stretches out her hand. She lends a hand. Maybe she gave them some of that new yarn that she spun. Maybe she made them a hat and she gave it to them. It's unclear. Remember, she's rich. This lady is rich because of maybe her husband and herself. And yet, often the rich could despise the poor, but for her it's the opposite. She's rich and yet she's compassionate and helpful to the poor. We had a whole study on the poor several years ago, and it'd be worthwhile to consider that again, a theology of the poor. And this woman had good theology and good practice. She was a generous steward of what God had given her. Remember two verses, Proverbs 14:31. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him, with a capital H. By giving to the poor and helping the poor, you honor God, who providentially put them in poverty. 14:21, just up a few verses. He who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Blessed is he who is gracious to the poor. That's her. She's gracious. And we're going to mention it here in a bit, but it'd be good to say it now, that this woman, I think, is typifies the godly woman. She's full-orbed. We're getting all these. She cares for her husband, her children, her maidens. She makes money. She helps the poor. We're getting a full-orbed picture of the ideal godly wife. So think of that as we move through these pieces. Verse 21 of Proverbs 31. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for they are all clothed with scarlet. They must have made warm things out of scarlet. You can research that, but it says, another translation is, they are doubly clothed. They have plenty of clothes. Maybe they made a polypropylene undershirt to keep them warm. Maybe that was the scarlet, doubly clothed. She had forethought. She prepared for the winter before it came. She didn't wait till the last minute. She was preparing. She was getting ready for the cold days to come. It's like it snows and you realize you don't have a shovel. And she bought the shovel ahead of time. It's freezing cold and you don't have good snow tires. She did it ahead of time. She was prepared for the future. She compared her insurance plans before it came time for renewal. That's just one example. There are many ways that the godly wife looks ahead and sees trouble brewing in whatever form, and she takes action. She does something about it. Verse 22, she makes coverings. Again, she's actually doing something. She's not only doing it, she's mastering it. She's becoming an expert. She has excellence. She's the excellent worker because she makes these fine clothes. And again, not that you have to, the point isn't that you have to make fine clothes, but to pursue excellence in something to provide value to the home. And whatever, there's many categories that you could think of. Pursuing a form of excellence that you could give to your home or give to someone else. Whatever you're good at, whatever God has gifted you with, you pursue that with excellence so you can give. And she was a maker of these fine linens. She's not above making her own clothes as a rich lady. She didn't think, that's below me, I'll let the peasants do that. She made her own. And I'm sure that's unique. She didn't just buy them, she made her own. And it says that she was exquisitely dressed in scarlet, and later here with purple, fine linen, not just the cheap stuff, but fine linen. Purple, again, was a sign of wealth, and this fine linen was made of flax. The threads, I just learned this, you can look it up on Wikipedia, the threads were made from the rind of the flax, and they were treated and spun on that distaff and spindle that were mentioned. That's how you spun the fine linen. And that flax may have come, actually, from some of those imports. Remember verse 14? She brought in from the merchant ships. And guess where it was made? I didn't tell my wife this, but apparently Egypt was the great flax producer. And they were importing it from Egypt at that time. So that was probably what she did with the imports. Compare her godly use of this imported linen with that of the harlot, remember? Remember the harlot in 7:17 who said, I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. The godly woman doesn't have to say, I'm not going to wear a purple blouse because that's what harlots wear. She's not going to say, I'm not going to dress nice because that's how the harlot looks. She takes, from a godly point of view, the beautiful clothes that God gave, and she uses them in godliness. And I think that's significant. Compare those two. The one used her beautiful clothes and linens for wickedness, to attract wickedness, and this woman uses it for godliness, to honor God in her creative use of making her own clothes and dressing herself. I'm sure there's more there, ladies, that you can pursue about how you dress. Verse 23. What are one of the consequences of what she does? Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes a name for her husband. Her godliness, her godly economics reflect on him. and enhances his reputation. Not detracts, like the contentious wife who annoys everyone. And when that man comes to the gate, oh, there's that poor guy. No, when he sits with the elders, wow, there's so-and-so's husband. Did you see what she did? Did you look what she made for her household? Did you see how she acts? She's a godly wife, and wow, that man is blessed. His reputation is enhanced. He is made, as we said before, a better man by her. She doesn't detract, she adds to him. Remember, an excellent wife is the, what? Crown of her husband. Thank you. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. And when he goes to the gates, he has that little crown on, and it makes him a better man. Ladies, that's what you do for us. You make us better men. Verse 24. This goes through saying she makes these linen garments. She supplies them to the tradesmen. Again, she's a woman of excellence. She's mastered her skill to the point of she's replicating what she made and selling it. She's supplying a high-quality product and selling it for profit. She's giving something to the society, but she's also doing that for the purpose of giving back to her home. She's home-centered. She's bringing money back to the home by her high-quality product. 25, strength and dignity. Again, this strength is womanly strength, and her dignity, they define her. That's her characteristic. She's characteristically strong and a woman of dignity. This word dignity is the Hebrew word hadar, and it's also translated honor, splendor, beauty, or majesty. This woman, because of how she's lived, the woman of Proverbs 31, is exquisite, and therefore she has dignity. She shines, and she makes her husband shine. She personifies a beautiful woman in the broadest sense. Little girls, young ladies, do you want to be beautiful in body and soul? I trust you do. Beautiful in body and soul. Then pray over Proverbs 31, 10 through the end. Memorize it. Talk to your mom about it. Mommy, what does this mean? It would be great. Maybe next year at Reformation Sunday, one of you will get up and you'll have memorized this section. I'll rejoice. Study it. Think about it. Mothers, talk to your daughters, to your girls about these verses. These verses show what the godly woman looks like. Everyday practical life. Pray. Pray for God to help you. He has to give grace through Christ to be this woman. This woman who smiles at the future. 25b. She has studied preparation. She doesn't go through life just responding to everything. She has a studied preparation for the future. She plans. She has the know-how and the supplies because she had forethought. She's like the ant who prepared her food in the summer before the winter came and there was no ant food around. She got ready ahead of time. That's in Proverbs 6:8. She's epitomizes diligence. She's not a sluggard whatsoever. Verse 26, she's not only diligent, she has a sanctified tongue. And the more we study the Bible, I trust we all feel that the tongue is where so many of our sins happen. Sanctification, a big part of sanctification is coming out of our lips. And this woman has a sanctified tongue. She speaks wisely. She speaks in wisdom, it says. She speaks biblically. She speaks the Word of God. She speaks proverbially. She knows the proverbs of wisdom. The book of Proverbs are what? Godliness in work clothes. She's getting up early. She's staying up late. She is living the proverbs. She's teaching them on her lips and by her life. She's winsome. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. Sometimes we can say things that are right, but say it in the wrong way. Well, she not only says what's right, but she says it in such a graciousness that you have to listen. And that's a great standard for all of us. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She epitomizes what James calls the gentleness of wisdom. Sometimes, if you're like me, you have the rash wisdom. You're speaking the truth, but it's not in a gentle way. It's not in a winsome manner to win the hearers. But she has it together. She has kind wisdom, teaching graciously. Well, then 27. She looks well to the ways of her household. This is emphatic. She looks, it doesn't just say she looks to the ways of her household. She looks well. It's emphasized. She not only looks, but she looks well. She has the right priority. Not herself, not the feminist who only wants to improve herself and get up on the corporate ladder. No. She looks well to the ways of her household. All that she did, selling, importing, getting up early, it wasn't for her. It was for her household. It enhanced her home. And that's why we drew the parallel with Titus 2. This woman loves her husband, honors her husband, cares for her children. Even though she's doing all this, it just boomerangs back. She goes out to do this, but it comes back home. She looks well to the ways of her household. She's a woman of self-denial. And again, you dear sisters, you ladies are this, and may God give you much grace to continue on in the path of self-denial, not looking out for your own interests, but the interests of others. And how does her husband respond then later? You excel them all. Because you've looked well to us, he responds that way. Well, concludes the practical. We had the precious wife, the practical wife, and then we'll see her reward here at the end, but that's all I have. Do you have any comments or questions? Men, don't embarrass your wives, but do you have any comments that you'd like to share? Anyone? Okay. Oh, yes, brother. Right. Doesn't mention the husband, but you could make some deductions. It's sort of typifying that she's what she's giving to the marriage. But of course, Ephesians 5 and other passages show us what, you know, it's very difficult for her to do this if he's not doing well. And when he says, you excel them all, he seems to be recognizing her godliness and her fear of the Lord. And it calls the children and the husband to give her, at the end here, it says, you know, give her the product of her hands, let her works praise her, let the husband, the children, everyone sees her, praise her. So that would imply, yes, a godly husband. Anything else? Yes, brother. I think there's a sense where we ought to be in a state where we deserve it. And yet, I think 1 Peter 3 says, if your husband is disobedient to the word, you know, win him without a word by your gentle and quiet spirit, by a wife. And when we at the camp, we talked about this, that a husband ought to be loving his wife and making submission and doing all this stuff. But even if he isn't, she's called to be a godly woman. Sure, it paves the path. There's that reciprocation. But even if he doesn't, she's still called to godliness. It'd be very difficult. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, in the same way you wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. And we talked about the same thing for men. If our wives are all the six things that Paul described in Ephesians 6, we're to love them. So ideally, and the scripture calls us to have that reciprocation which paves the path, but their working does not depend biblically. It doesn't allow them to not be godly toward their husband if he's a loser, for sure. Yes, Susan. Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and indeed, you know, the memory, and as a, your household, you still have a household, and obviously, Paul tells Timothy there are guidance for widows as well, but indeed, I mean, same with our parents. When God takes them, we still have a certain reflection upon them. Same with a widow as well. Indeed, it's not just for, yes, you're right, there's a case that is different than what this picture shows. Thank you. Yes, sweetie. Yes, indeed. Indeed. The godly woman or even the godly man does not do it for the praise. And this woman is totally selfless. She's happy to have it reflect on her husband. She doesn't need the praise herself. Even though her children will praise her, her husband praises her, she's not craving that. Yes. Anything else? Okay, let's conclude with prayer. Father, thank you for your word, for the Proverbs, Father, for spelling it out so plainly that we can't miss it. Father, thank you for our wives who excel them all, who are rare above jewels and gems. Father, thank you for them, and may you protect them because they are precious. Father, bless the young girls here that they would have a desire to be a Proverbs 31 woman, a Proverbs 31 wife, or even a Proverbs 31 widow. Father, stir up a godly strength in our women and girls. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.